Good afternoon, 4:30 and 82 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Ashley Davidson.
Nobody's happy with his tenure at the FBI, so I think it was long past time for him to go.
Kentucky Senator Rand Paul says he supports the president's firing of FBI Director James Comey.
A Boyd County grand jury has indicted a Rush man in manslaughter charges.
And the Moorhead Railroad Museum will celebrate its first anniversary next month.
In sports, the Kentucky High School football and girls basketball championships will both be decided in Lexington next year.
But Luke has the stocks.
Partly cloudy tonight with showers likely. Lows around 66 degrees, and the complete forecast after this news.
A 28-year-old Rush man is to be arraigned in Boyd County Circuit Court tomorrow following his indictment on manslaughter and assault charges in connection with a fatal traffic accident more than a year ago. According to WSAZ, Gilbert Carr is accused in a February 2016 crash near the Kiowa Mall that killed 51-year-old Tammy Hall of Ashland. Boyd deputies say Carr went through a red light on Route 60 and hit a pickup truck. The victim was a passenger in the truck.
Portsmouth police have identified the man who died in a bar fight Monday. They say the victim was 45-year-old Shannon Brown, apparently killed during a brawl with another man at Frankenstein's Lounge on Chillicothe Street. Police say the second man has yet to be located. They're asking anyone with information about the incident to contact the Portsmouth PD.
A West Virginia journalist, occasionally heard here on Mountain Edition, was arrested Wednesday after yelling questions at U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary Tom Price. Police at the state capitol in Charleston say 54-year-old Dan Hyman was taken into custody after yelling questions at Price and senior White House aide Kellyanne Conway. The two were in West Virginia to learn about efforts to fight opioid addiction. Police claim Hyman tried to breach Secret Service security and had to be removed from a hallway at the Capitol. He was charged with willful disruption of government processes. That's a misdemeanor. Hyman works for Public News Service and formerly was employed by West Virginia Public Broadcasting. He says he was trying to ask whether domestic violence would be considered a pre-existing condition under the proposed health care overhaul.
A grand jury in eastern Kentucky will hear the case of a man accused of kidnapping another man and holding him in the woods for more than 2 weeks. Here's KNN's Suzanne Duvall.
Police say 21-year-old James Davis kidnapped Douglas Middleton in February and held him in a building in the woods. 23-year-old Middleton, who has a disability, was found 17 days later. Doctors had to amputate both of his legs as a result of injuries and severe frostbite. Middleton's aunt, Joyce Calhoun, tells WKYT the family is glad Davis is locked up.
We were overwhelmed, tickled to death that it's going to the grand jury, and we really do thank the DA that he did not let him out on bond.
Police are still searching for at least one other person they believe was involved in the kidnapping. I'm Suzanne Duvall.
Republican Senator Mitch McConnell is accusing Democrats of flip-flopping on FBI Director James Comey, who was fired Tuesday by President Trump. The Kentucky lawmaker says some of the Democrats now voicing outrage at Comey's dismissal had nothing nice to say about him when he was investigating Hillary Clinton's emails.
Our Democratic colleagues complaining about the removal of an FBI director whom they themselves repeatedly and sharply criticized, that removal being done by a man, Rod Rosenstein, whom they repeatedly and effusively praised. When Mr. Rosenstein recommended Mr. Comey's removal for many of the very reasons that they consistently complained about.
McConnell says he now expects more calls for a new investigation. The senator says that'll just impede probes already underway.
So far, members of Kentucky's congressional delegation appear to be towing the partisan line on President Donald Trump's firing of FBI Director James Comey. Josh James has more.
Senators Rand Paul and Mitch McConnell took to the airwaves and the Senate floor Wednesday to defend the termination, with both leveling charges of hypocrisy at Democrats who had harsh words for Comey during the presidential campaign. This is Paul on Fox Business arguing both sides should back Trump's decision.
I think you have a lot of people looking at it from the Democrat side who have said they have lost confidence in him. I think you have Republicans saying he should have prosecuted Clinton. Nobody's happy with his tenure at the FBI, so I think it was long past time for him to go.
Louisville Democratic Representative John Yarmuth tweeted that the firing is yet another reminder of the, quote, absolutely dire need, end quote, for a special prosecutor. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
Former state auditor Adam Edelin and sports broadcaster Matt Jones are bringing their new Kentucky project to Moorhead tomorrow night. One of the local hosts for the event is Rowan County Assistant Attorney Ashley Adkins. Adkins says the two Democrats started the project following the November 2016 election in an effort to bring Kentuckians from all sides together to solve several key problems in the state.
The goal with New Kentucky Project is to be able to lobby for certain issues at the grassroots level that will help move Kentucky forward, really focusing on healthcare, education, economy. And by grassroots, I mean starting at the county level to work with people to bring about that change.
Tomorrow night's New Kentucky Project reception and fundraising event starts at 6 o'clock at the Rowan County Arts Center. It'll cost $25 per person to attend.
A research associate at the Kentucky Center for Economic Policy says the Commonwealth allows about $500 million in itemized tax deductions every year. Anna Bowman tells KET most of that money goes to wealthy Kentuckians.
The majority of the benefit goes to people at the higher end of the income scale, and that's a lot of money that we're not able to invest in our schools. And when we talk about other states, you know, many of our neighbor states are not as generous with their itemized deductions, if they allow them at all.
Bowman says the wealthiest Kentuckians pay 6% of their income in state and local taxes, while the second 20% pay nearly double that amount.
A state representative and registered nurse is expecting Kentucky's Medicaid system to be changed to require some financial obligation from recipients. Republican Kim Moser of Independence says something has to be done to make the program more sustainable. She spoke with Spectrum News.
I think that probably some of the folks who have been added to the Medicaid system in recent years with the expansion may need to pay. I don't know if it'll come in the form of copays or if it'll come in the form of a very small premium.
Moser says Governor Bevin is looking at health care programs in other states to determine what might work best for Kentucky.
Kentucky still ranks above the national average when it comes to food insecurity. However, director of the Kentucky Association of Food Banks, Tamara Sandberg, says the situation is better than it was a year ago. Sandberg was reacting to the latest national study on hunger by the nonprofit organization Feeding America. It shows that nearly 17% of Kentucky's population is food insecure, but that's lower than the previous year. Feeding America breaks down the issue by county, and many of the most food insecure counties are in eastern Kentucky. Sandberg says Wolf County leads the Commonwealth at 23%.
Unfortunately, Wolf County has ranked very high on the listing of counties with the most food insecurity rate for a number of years. So we weren't surprised to see that again. We're disheartened and we're working hard to make sure that we're addressing food insecurity in eastern Kentucky.
Sandberg says that's being done through God's Food Pantry and its partner organizations, as well as other public and private initiatives to reduce hunger in the region.
The National Science Foundation's NOICE Teacher Scholarship Program is giving Moorhead State University an award of nearly $1.2 million. The money will be used to provide 34 scholarships of up to $10,000 for as many as 2 years to juniors and seniors in the MSU Teach program. The goal of the effort will be to recruit biology, chemistry, earth science, mathematics, and education majors to eventually become high school math and science teachers in high-needs school districts in eastern Kentucky. Dr. Edna Shack is the co-director for MSU Teach. Shack says the initiative is part of Moorhead State's long-standing historical effort to train teachers.
This will capitalize on that. It will strengthen our teaching. It will bring in some excellent students who are passionate about math and science and who can go back to their school districts in eastern Kentucky and teach and help high school students learn that same passion for mathematics and science.
Morehead State will collaborate in the effort with school districts in Rowan, Carter, and Fleming counties along with the New World High School in the Bronx section of New York City.
The Morehead-Rowan County Railroad and Historical Museum will hold an open house June 3rd to mark the first anniversary of its opening. Steve Young led the group that developed the museum, which is located on First Street. He says during its first year of operations, the facility has had over 3,000 visitors from 28 states, the District of Columbia, and 9 foreign countries. Young believes much of the museum's popularity stems from people's general love for the railroad and the past.
One of those first things that Grandpa does, he says, "Oh, wait a minute, I had one of those when I was a kid," you know, that sort of thing. And so I think a lot of folks just enjoy the nostalgia of it. But youngsters also, we've been very surprised to see the response from young people and how surprised they are to see how Grandma and Grandpa got along back there.
The Morehead-Rowan County Railroad and Historical Museum is open from now through December on Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays from 11 to 5. January through March, it will entertain guests on Fridays and Saturdays from 12 to 4.
And finally, this afternoon, a minister with the Kentucky Baptist Convention says an executive order signed last week by President Trump means pastors and churches no longer face government reprisals for political speech. Paul Chitwood says many pastors have felt restrained in speaking out on issues that cross both faith and political boundaries. He says they've feared losing their tax-exempt status.
Faith is an essential part of life, and we don't have to hide our faith in the closet. We can be who we are as a person, even a person of faith, in the public square. And I think this will hopefully just give that reassurance to the minister who's speaking, you know, out of conviction and his faith convictions.
Chitwood is executive director of the KBC and a past president of the organization.
Taking a look at your weather forecast tonight, partly cloudy with a 50% chance of late night showers and thunderstorms, lows at 66 degrees. Tomorrow, 81 degrees and a chance of rain at 80%. Thunderstorms becoming more likely in the afternoon with a possibility of a few being severe. Tomorrow night, rain at 60%, scattered showers and thunderstorms and lows around 59 degrees. And Friday, 90% chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs around 64 degrees. Taking a look at the temperatures for the listening area, 77 in Ashland, 81 in Flemingsburg, 82 in Inez, 84 in Lexington, 83 in Winchester, and it is currently 82 degrees right here on the campus of Morehead State University.
4:43, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. It is great to have your company on this Wednesday afternoon. On our feature segment this afternoon, we have Neighbors, Adrian Swain's conversations with our culturally diverse Appalachian community. This is part two of Adrian's interview with Marietta Simonova Pissarro, director of Morehead State University's English as a Second Language program. In the conclusion of this series, she remembers growing up while a communist government was in power in Bulgaria. That's where she was born in 1974.
In the old capital of Bulgaria, Veliko Tarnovo, which has a special meaning to all Bulgarian people because this was the time when Bulgaria was the strongest. The territory was the largest and it was at three seas, the Black Sea, the Mediterranean and the Aegean Seas. It was a time of great literary enlightenment, and we were taught at a very young age to be proud of our heritage, being the oldest country in Europe. Bulgaria was founded in 681 by Khan Asparuh. Bulgaria was part of the former communist bloc until 1989. We used to leave our houses unlocked, our cars unlocked, virtually communism was an attempt to have a utopia in the real world. We found out later on that was not the case. And it was a very normal childhood for me.
Right.
So, of course, as a child, you take everything for granted.
At what point did the communist government fall?
The wind of change. It was 1989, and I remember this very well because I came back from Libya and I was a high school student, you know, in those days. And this was a time of a huge political unrest in the whole of Europe. We saw what happened in neighboring countries. In Romania, the totalitarian leader Ceausescu was executed on the main square. That was quite shocking. They were, you know, broadcasting this live on television. But Bulgaria was one of the countries that made this transition from communism or the totalitarian system to democracy bloodlessly. The 1990s were a really stressful period because after communism fell, there were a lot of propaganda movements to resurrect it in the country. There was food shortage, there was electricity shortages, there were water shortages. It was really engineered to make the population believe that the old times were better. It was a turbulent time, so it affected my life negatively. Not feeling calm and secure and maintaining my belief in the future and the hope that was sold to the population. Democracy didn't look good to me as a teenager. 30 years have elapsed since then, and Bulgaria, in terms of nature and beauty, is the same country. However, in terms of demographics, the country has changed tremendously. A lot of the young people are gone. Bulgaria became a member of the European Union in the meantime, together with Romania. The European Union opened the doors for employment for young Bulgarians, and people did take advantage of that. Bulgarians are highly educated with masters and PhDs and postdocs, so this opens other doors in the United States and in Britain and all over the world. Bulgarians are looking for opportunities where education is affordable, and there are a lot of options that open up in terms of being out of the country. So a lot of people are working abroad, which leaves the country somewhat deserted by its young people, and our families and parents are still there, but the young people are looking for opportunities all over the world. Mm-hmm. So this is a little bit sad. That's my last word, and I'm sticking to it.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
That was Marietta Simonova Pissarro, director of Morehead State University's English as a Second Language program. Neighbors, Adrian Swain's Conversations with Our Culturally Diverse Appalachian Community, is a regular Wednesday feature on Mountain Edition. It is 4:48. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR is coming up at 5 o'clock, and Braxton has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from Eastern Kentucky CEP. The Carter Nursing and Rehabilitation Center in Grayson will host a job fair on Tuesday, May 16th, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Grayson Career Center, 1141A State Highway 7. LPNs, registered nurses, and CNAs are encouraged to bring resumes for interviews. The Carter Nursing and Rehabilitation Center job fair at the Grayson Career Center, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Tuesday, May 16th. More information at 474-2412 or online at ekyjobs.com.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Kentucky High School Athletic Association announced today that the Kentucky High School Football Championship Games will be moved to the University of Kentucky's Kroger Field for the 2017 and 2018 seasons. The championship games had been held at Western Kentucky University since 2009. The KHSAA also announced that the girls' basketball state tournament will be moved to Lexington's Rupp Arena for the 2019 and 2020 seasons. With the moves, Lexington will now be the host of both the boys' and girls' basketball state tournaments, the baseball state tournament, and the football championship games. Despite that, KHSAA Commissioner Julian Tackett isn't worried about the championship events becoming too centralized.
If, in fact, this were a longer-term thing, I would worry about that. But these things have moved around before. You know, there was a time when we had both the boys and the football in Louisville, and we didn't hear much about that. And I think it's just that we've got to – that comes down to the business decision versus regional political decisions, and I've got to weigh business more because the revenue from basketball and football takes care of cross-country and tennis and those other sports.
For the girls' basketball tournament, it will remain at BB&T Arena in Northern Kentucky University for next season before the move to Rupp Arena. Morehead State baseball coach Mike McGuire admits with this being finals exam week at the university, not having a midweek game is a nice break for his ball club. Starting Friday, McGuire's Eagles will host Murray State this weekend for three OVC games. His team will go in having lost two of three games in each of the last two conference weekends.
They just need to play on a more consistent basis and get some guys back throwing the ball like they're capable of out of the bullpen is important for us down the stretch here. And I think offensively we just have to understand that, you know, we've got to lean on our bats and we can't afford to have, complacent at bats and give away at bats.
At 14-9 in the OVC, MSU still holds the second best record in the conference. The Cincinnati Reds are taking today off after getting a 5-3 win over the New York Yankees last night to move to 18-15 on the year. The Reds did make a move today, however, opting starting pitcher Ricky Davis down to AAA in Louisville. Davis this year has a 1-2 record with a 7.58 ERA. Davis says while playing for the minor league club, he'll be working to fine-tune his slider.
Slider command was terrible. I mean, there's no other way to put it. I have to do a better job of filling the zone up, especially with that pitch. That's a huge pitch for me. That's a pitch that I need to throw with conviction, and I also need to throw for strikes. So we'll continue to work on it. It's still a work in progress. I mean, I've been throwing it now for about 2 months. So
the Reds are back in action tomorrow night when they visit the San Francisco Giants at 10:15. Even though his team finished with a 26-22 overall record, Morehead State softball coach David Williams admits the way the 2017 campaign ended for his Eagles was a major disappointment. MSU's 6-12 worksheet in the OVC prevented it from making the conference tournament. Williams says that's an indicator of just how tough the OVC was this season.
A lot of really, really good teams. And I think if any one of the teams in our conference were sprinkled into some of these other conferences across the country, I think they probably would have a chance of winning that conference. But this was an exceptional year for the OVC, which is really great for OVC softball and for us to establish ourselves on a national stage as a conference.
The MSU softball team is losing only three seniors from this year's squad to graduation. Bracken County High School coach says the Morehead State basketball Eagles are getting a good one in Austin Crawford. Jason Henson says the 6'2 guard is not only a great person and student, but also a great player.
Explosive, can put up points in a hurry. I think anybody that scored over 3,000 points and grabbed 1,000 rebounds, it speaks for itself. I think he's sixth all-time in KHA history, the only sixth player all-time to do 3,000 points and 1,000 rebounds.
Crawford will be a preferred walk-on next season at MSU. As a senior at Bracken, he averaged 25 points and 8 rebounds a game. He will become the first Bracken County product to play at MSU since Warren Cooper, who was an All-American for the Eagles in the 1940s. An Elliott County boys basketball star has picked a place where he will play in college. MSPR's Chuck Mirage reports.
After helping to lead Elliott County to three straight 16th region titles, the Ashland Daily Independent reports that Chase Porter is signed to play at Kentucky Christian University next season. KCU coach Grady Lowe believes the 6'2 Porter can help the Knights at three positions. During his senior campaign, he averaged 15.5 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, and 3 steals per game. The paper says Porter chose Kentucky Christian over Transylvania, Pikeville, and a handful of other schools. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Chuck Mraz.
And finally in sports, the Cincinnati Bengals top draft pick says he'll battle for playing time this season. Former University of Washington star John Ross says the Bengals have several good wide receivers on their roster.
It's a different ball game in college. You know, I think anywhere you go, you're going to have to compete. And we have some real good veterans in our room. So I think the competition is going to be, you're going to have to bring it every day. You know, that day that you take off might be the day that you take off. So I think the competition is going to be real special.
Ross will be one of four rookie wideouts competing for playing time and a roster spot with the Bengals this summer. That's it for sports for Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle baseball will host Murray State for three games this weekend, 5 p.m. on Friday, 5:30 p.m. on Saturday, and 1 p.m. on Sunday. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. Equities closed mixed as investors digested President Donald Trump's firing of FBI Director James Comey, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 32.67 at 20,943.11. The broader market was stronger, with the S&P 500 up 2.71 at 2399.63, and the NASDAQ Composite set yet another closing record as it finished with a gain of 8.56 at 6129.14. And New York Stock Exchange breadth was 9-5 in favor of winning stocks over losers. The reaction to Comey's firing in the market was largely muted because a large number of investors still believe the market will get tax reform at some point. In earnings news, Disney was down 2.25%. It was among your weaker Dow stocks after reporting lower than expected revenues yesterday, although the company did beat on earnings expectations. And also after hours, after the close, Snap reported their first quarterly earnings report as a publicly traded company, and Snap's revenues for the first quarter did disappoint, and the stock was down almost 20% in after hours trading. Also in economic news, mortgage applications rose almost 2.5% on a seasonally adjusted basis last week, while import prices rose 0.5%, more than expected. And in Europe, stocks closed mostly higher, with the pan-European Stock 600 index rising 0.16%. And the index is currently outperforming the S&P 500 in 2017. And of course, many analysts say that for that outperformance to continue, the political situation in Europe will certainly need to show a calming down from what we have seen here in the first quarter of this year with the election in France and also other similar situations with European countries. In the commodities markets, oil is up 3.25% at $47.37 after a bullish inventory report showed a lower than expected inventory of crude here in the U.S. And gold is up 0.25% at $1,219.40 an ounce. Among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were Chevron and Caterpillar, and your worst performers were Disney and Boeing. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Nvidia and Electronic Arts, and the worst performers were the Priceline Group and Allergan. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated up 81 cents at $123.97, Marathon Petroleum up 89 cents at $52.35, AEP up 8 cents at $67.39, CSX down 9 cents at $51.72, AK Steel up 12 cents at $5.99, and Community Trust Bank was down 30 cents to finish at $44.70. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR is provided by Gateway Radio Works, serving Rouen and surrounding counties with WKCA at 97.7 FM. All the programming of WKCA, classic country music, news, and more is available worldwide on WKCARadio.com. Apps are available for both your Apple and Android devices. WKCA proudly supports Morehead State University and Morehead State Public Radio.
Taking a look at your weather forecast for the MSPR listening area tonight, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms later in the evening, lows at 66 degrees. Tomorrow, chance of rain at 80% with scattered thunderstorms in the morning, becoming more widespread in the afternoon. Severe weather is likely, highs around 81 degrees. Tomorrow night, the chance of rain drops to 60% with showers and thunderstorms, lows at 59. And Friday, chance of rain at 90% with highs around 64 degrees. Temperatures for the region, 77 in Ashland, 81 in Flemingsburg, 82 in Inez, 84 in Lexington, 83 in Winchester, and it is currently 82 degrees right here on the campus of Morehead State University.
And that's it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Meraz, Nathan Gutierrez, Samantha Morrill, Braxton Howard, Courtney Howell, and Victoria Egy. From the Kentucky News Network, Suzanne Duvall. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202 VH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Ashley Davidson and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.